This morning we talked about instruction. Avenge not yourselves, but give place to wrath. And you know what? There's some fruit that comes from that. There's fruit that I can have in my own life that I can enjoy because of that. And that is the fruit of peace. I'd like to look at that fruit this evening, this afternoon. I'd like to give out some verses and let's take a look at it, because some of the other fruit mostly helps other people. But this fruit, I get to enjoy it myself along with other people enjoying it. I want to look at a verse. Matthew 5 and 6 says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst." There's a lot of hungering and thirsting in the world today for things. This one, it says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I want to look at the benefit of us thirsting after righteousness in our life. So the verse, Brother Paul, that you have for Isaiah 32, 17 through 18.
"And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places."
I love those two verses. The work of righteousness is going to produce a fruit. It's going to be peace. The effect of righteousness is going to be quietness and assurance forever. My people are going to dwell in a peaceable habitation, sure dwellings, and quiet resting places. This morning I'd mentioned my living way out there in the country where it's quiet. I believe this is talking about something more than just we were able to buy more land and get farther away from the public. This is about inside of my mind, inside of my head, the thoughts that are coming to me. I can be in a place to where I dwell in a peaceable habitation. Well, how that's going to come about is I'm going to be processing continually. This thought comes and I say, nope. This is going to take away this peaceable habitation that I have in my spirit. The quiet resting places, you can live in an apartment complex with people all around you. You can be walking through Walmart with people all around you, and you still dwell in a quiet resting place. That has so much value for us. That's why this morning when we're looking at that verse, don't avenge yourself. Because what it's going to do is it's going to kill this. It's going to pour a roundup on the peace that we would be able to have in our life. The turmoils that come from avenging myself of wrong that has been done to me. As a Christian, I would never go out and hurt somebody physically. But I can let things turn in my mind, thoughts turn in my mind, and it destroys this very thing, the fruit that I can enjoy in my own life. And I want to be able to have it. So that's why I love this verse. The work of righteousness in my life is going to produce peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness. You know, quietness is a wonderful thing today. Just there can be noise all around me at work, but just inside there's a peace and a quietness. I'm thankful for it. Okay, so let's look then. Before we go to Luke 19, Psalms 23, we don't have to go there, but we know the psalm. We can say it real easy. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me beside still waters." All those things seem so peaceful. And I'm glad for that. That's where peace is. But then I thought of the song that says, when peace like a river attendeth my way. You've had those times where it's just peace like a river. Everything is so smooth. But then that song does not end until it says, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." So Psalms 23 has a place that I call peace. It's beside the still waters, a lot of quiet resting place there. But it doesn't end until it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." That's a good place to lose your peace when it looks like, and you look at the world around us, when it looks like things are closing down for me, people would give anything to be able to stay a little longer. I love watching the people of God that have put their confidence in God to just put their hand in the Lord's and say, Lord, if this is my time, I just need you to walk with me through this time. I've never been through it before, but I need you to be able to go with me. We would say that doesn't seem like a very peaceful situation. But I tell you, if you can make this transition from this life to eternal life, that's peaceful. And we want to be able to have that. But then let's go to whoever has Luke 19, 41 through 42.
And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes.
Jesus looked out over the city, started crying. If you only knew the things that belong to your peace, what was he talking about? They knew the things that they felt like belonged to their peace. We've got to get out from under Roman rule. He realized we're going to always have difficult things come our way. It can be the Romans this week. It can be somebody else next week. He came, if you only knew the things that make for your peace, there would be peace that he could give them, that it didn't matter who was the ruler over them. I thought of when he would talk to someone that was in slavery. You know, they're not even their own boss anymore. He didn't say, I've come to abolish slavery. What he said he came for was to help them to be able to have peace in the middle of it. What did he say? Don't do eye service as men pleasers. Be thinking about your serving the Lord and do it for that purpose. So I looked at Jesus looking over that. And he wept because they were looking at one thing that would make for peace. He was looking at something that would give them permanent peace. And I'm thinking about ourselves. I would like to have peace, so I want this little trouble gone, when what the Lord has is peace for us that will carry us all the way through. And I'm thankful for that. There's the verse in Isaiah 48 and 18.
Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea.
Okay. If you had heart, here's what gives us peace, and an abundance of peace. If you had hearkened to my commandments, then you would have peace, not just a little stream, but you would have peace like a river. I believe that's really what he was kind of telling the folks in Jerusalem. Is if you only knew the kind of peace that I have to give you. It'll flow like a river, and things look like they're so difficult all around you. There's that song that we sing sometimes, a peace that is not depending on my troubles relenting. You know what? When I can have that, this peace inside of me, even when the difficulty does not go away, it's still there. Is that possible? It is possible. If you had hearkened to my commandments, what are some of the commandments? I think one of them this morning was one of the things that can destroy our peace. That was a Bible commandment. Avenge not yourselves, not in your mind, not in your actions, but give it to God. Don't take judgment in your hands. Leave it with God. Because Jesus said, I've got a peace that I want to give you. It's not like the world can give. It's available for us in 2025. Whatever difficult thing you could write down, I'm going through this at this time. If we could just realize, you know what, the Lord might not even would change that problem. The problem could still be there, and there is a calmness. What was our Isaiah 32? My people are going to dwell in a peaceable habitation. Right up in the middle of a whole lot of trouble, there's just peace inside of me, and that is so valuable. So then I thought of this. How much peace does he have to give? Is there a place that he will run out? Isaiah 9 and 6 through 7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord is of hosts will perform this.
So I look at this. We want to see, will we be able to have enough peace? He says he's going to be the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. It's like a fountain. Down in Louisiana, they would have what they called artesian wells. On those wells, you did not have to have a pump. They had pressure from down in the earth that was pushing that water up. His will not run out. It's available for us. And ours does not need to run out. There are some verses that I want us to look at. This is not just what Jesus has to offer. He can have it to offer, but if I don't make the connection where I can get a hold to it, then it doesn't help me much. Here's one that will give us some peace. Philippians 4 and 7 and 8.
And the peace of God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things.
Okay. The peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Is it magic? No. We have a part to play. And he gives us instruction. That part that we play is, what do I allow to be in my mind to think about? So she gave us these places here. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Lovely? Is it going to be a good report? Would it be one of those things that I would like for other people to be able to share with other people? This is a good thing. If there be any praise, so maybe we could look at that even. If it's not any praise to that going to God, then let's pass it up. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So if I would apply that into my heart and say, you know what? The Prince of Peace, of the increase of his peace, there'll be no end. If I'd hearkened to his commandments, I'd have had peace like a river. To the children in Jerusalem, to the folks in Jerusalem, I had a peace for you that would have helped you out, would have been so valuable. The peace that he would have given them, they would have still had Roman rule. But you remember the places where he said, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. If they ask you to do this, go ahead and be willing to do something above. It's a change of heart. But it would have had them having peace inside. Today's a different time. I say I don't have anybody over me. And yet, you know what? There are some things that can happen in my life that destroys my peace. Yes. So if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, be careful what I'm thinking about, because it will destroy my peace. So we had another verse that is another promise. Isaiah 26 and 3.
Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
Now that's quite a verse. Yes. Perfect peace. I'd love to be able to have perfect peace. And yet that's a promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. It's not drifting off, and next week I'll come back and try to pull it back in again. But I'm continually like Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he's got something that's happening. I believe this 26 and 3 is what was happening. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates day and night. And not as, oh, this is something I've got to do. It was his desire is what he was looking for. His delight. You know, that's more than rules. That's what he enjoys doing. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, Job 22 and 21.
Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee.
Okay, I think of that verse. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. So when I look at that, you can kind of work that equation different ways. If I don't have peace, I need to maybe look at, have I lost my acquaintance with him? Could I become more acquainted with him? I don't believe that's talking just to the sinner. Acquaint now thyself with him. Get to know the Lord and you'll be at peace. I believe it's just like Revelations says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me. I don't think that's just to sinners. I like to think of that as being me in the morning when I'm in a rush. Got to get to work. Lord, I'd like to be able to spend more time with you, but I'm pretty busy today. I'm standing at the door and knock. He's there. The Prince of Peace is there, ready to give me something for my day that I would be able to have this kind of peace that he's talking about. Acquaint ourselves with him more and be at peace. So we had 2 Corinthians 2 and 11.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
What does that have to do with peace? Lest Satan should get advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. You know what? He realizes the value of peace. If they really get a hold to this Prince of Peace, this peace is flowing like a river to them. They're not going to be willing to take anything else. Lest Satan should get an advantage, we're not ignorant of his devices. So what I want to do is start finding out, you know what, this trail that my mind takes off down is going to cause, it has caused me to lose peace in the past. It will cause me to lose peace out in the future. So I'm not going down that trail anymore. And I thought of this. One of his devices is unforgiveness. Someone has done me wrong. What does it say? Don't avenge yourselves. Give it to God. Let him take care of it. But we've got this thought process that we're having to deal with. And we have verses that say, when you stand praying, forgive. We have verses that Peter asked, how often should I forgive? 70 times 7, just continually have a heart of forgiveness. And with this subject we're looking at this afternoon is because it affects my peace level of whether I'm willing to let it go and give it back to God. And I look at these things whenever it's presented. Unforgiveness is presented as an option that I reject it because it's guaranteed. Just like all these promises have a guarantee, this one has a guarantee. Unforgiveness will cause me to lose my peace. Yes. It will be gone. And so I say, Lord, help me. I want to be able to have this peace that passes understanding. I want the Lord to be able to help me. So if we have Romans 14 and 19.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another.
That's a good verse for us to keep close by us. Let us therefore follow after. If it's a trail that's heading down, that's going to cause, I can know this is going to bring peace to me. Let me follow after those things that make for peace and those things that edify. And maybe we say, you know, I don't know if this thought is going to take me in a peaceful direction or not. You track it just a little bit and you'll soon be able to know, I better back off on this one. Follow after those things that make for peace. Okay, I want to look at a place. David, in Psalms 23, he had found this kind of place that gave him peace. And everything, it seemed like in his life, he had it in control. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then if someone gets Psalms 55, all right, something happened to David. He's going to have to make some decisions because peace is going to leave him soon. Psalms 55 and 6.
Psalm 55 and 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest.
You ever had that happen to you? I wish I had an ability to fly away from this problem and have peace in my life. I wish I could move myself to another situation. Oh, that I... Now, was he just... Everything is so peaceful in my life. The only thing I haven't been able to do is fly. I wish I knew how to fly a little bit. That wasn't what was happening in his life. This was no longer a Psalms 23 situation. This one has been a severe difficulty in his life. And the thought came to me, I wish I could just move myself from this situation and start over again in another peaceful habitation. What was happening in his life? Psalms 55 and 12 through 14. Brother Paul, if you go ahead and go to that one since you're in that chapter.
Psalm 55, 12 through 14. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them.
Okay, so he's talking in these verses. It wasn't an enemy that reproached me. It was a friend. It was a man mine equal. This is the king talking. It was my God. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company. Who was this? Who was he talking about? What was happening in David's life at this time? At this time, David's son was out to kill him. Absalom was after David. This is not talking about Absalom. If we look over, and we won't have to go there, but this is in 2 Samuel 17 and 1. There's a man that we don't hardly ever hear his name. It's Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a counselor to David, one of his friends, one of his equals. Somebody that David really considered to be a friend. Ahithophel went with Absalom. Not only did he go with Absalom, but he told Absalom, look, I have the solution to this. Give me 12,000 men, and I will go and kill him by himself, and I will bring the people back to you. How would you like that? For a friend. And the news comes to David, not only is his son out to kill him, but his counselor that he has always sought counsel, they have gone to the house of the Lord together, has turned on him to the point that he says, let me be the one to kill him. I don't know if your Bible has it, but in my one of my Bibles, it has the heading for Psalms 55. The heading of that chapter says, cast thy burden on the Lord. And that verse is also in that chapter of 55. But Paul, if you'll look at 55 and 22.
55 and 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
So look at this. When you read that about David, it's hard to imagine. If you had an enemy, the Amorites or somebody, the Philistines coming against you, that's one thing. But when your son has risen up against you and is out to kill you and take the kingdom, that's another thing. And this verse right here, with all this trouble, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer thy foot to be moved. We have a plaque at home, and I've told you about this before. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of God. Peace is in the middle of all that trouble when he said, I wish I had wings like a dove that I could fly to another place and not even have these kind of troubles, that he was able to cast his burden on the Lord and the Lord sustained him. Let's look at another time. 1 Samuel 30. It starts out with a little bit of a story there. David is the commander of a group of men. He's gone out on a little venture, left his families at home in Ziklag, and now he's returning. And it tells us in those verses 1 through 3 What happened?
And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives.
You know, what happens when peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll? You know, that can happen in just a few minutes. When they have come back, maybe they're rejoicing in how they have had a good campaign. And then they come up and see there's no city here anymore. It's burned. Our wives, our children are gone. We don't know what's happened to them. Read the next verse, number 4. We can have such a change of spirit so quickly.
Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep.
Men that were willing to go out and fight and conquer, they all of a sudden have news that has caused them to weep until they have no power, no more power to weep. And then look at the sixth verse.
And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
I like that story. Sometimes there can be trouble come into our life that seems, I'm going under. I'm not going to be able to handle this one. And then, right in the middle of it, because his men not only just wept until they couldn't weep anymore, but the next thing they decided is, we need to kill David. He should have known better than to leave out of here without our families being protected. We need to stone him. But David encouraged himself. You know, there may come a time where it seemed like there's nothing around me that can help me right now. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what I'd like for us to think about, is because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what can happen on the way home. Accidents can happen. Things can happen that just changes a peaceful situation into trouble in our life. But if I can realize, you know what? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the increase of his peace, there won't be an end to it. It's still got plenty of peace for us today in our lives. The troubles that can come to us, he can keep us in perfect peace. And how will he do it? Whose mind is stayed on him. I can get into, and I've done it, go back to listening to the news again, and the turmoil starts coming back again. All the things that are happening, and what they, and then in my mind, what does it say? Don't lean to your own understanding. And yet I do it. As I read the news happening, all of a sudden I say, why doesn't he do this? And my mind's churning with what's going on. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's an old verse, and yet I think it's a promise that will be until the end of time. If I will be able to keep my mind on him, I will be able to have that perfect peace. And to remember Jerusalem. You know, Jesus said, I wasn't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent out to help the Gentiles. I was sent to help my people. And they rejected him. When he came in, you remember that was when he came in with so many people praising him, coming into the city, throwing their coats down on the ground for the little donkey to walk on. And then he went from there to look out over the city and start crying. You know, you would think that would be a joyful time. He's relishing all the praise that's coming to him. He knew what was going to happen in just a few days. He knew the heart of the people. And he also knew what desire he had for them to be able to give them peace in Jerusalem with the Romans still ruling. He has peace for us in America with the things that are going on today. And I'm thankful for that. If we could get Psalm 61, we looked at that this morning, but I'd like to see it again. Psalm 61 and 2 through 3.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm just overwhelmed with troubles that are coming into my life. But instead of sinking underneath them, I'm saying, I know where I need to go. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Lead me to this Prince of Peace, of the increase of his peace. There will be no end. Lead me to that. Help me to be able to see thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The things that give me a guarantee of having that peace, I want to be able to have it in my life. A peace not depending on my troubles relenting, but all on his sweet love to me. You know, peace has a promise to it. Where Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a promise for us everyone. And just that promise itself should bring a great peace to me, knowing that he's in control of it, and I'm very thankful for it. I would like to close with a song, number 102. You know, some of these things are like where we hear about the teaching of once saved, always saved. And you know what? That is a true doctrine. We can be one time saved and stay. That was the design of the gospel message, was to be saved one time and be always saved. But it's choices that we make. This song, number 102, says, he keepeth me in peace. That sounds great. That sounds like a promise. But then it says, as I walk in pastures green, there's some in the chorus. Oh, he keepeth me in peace while on him my mind is stayed. If I don't do my part, it doesn't cause the other part to work like it should. Peace to me is a fruit. It's the fruit that I get to eat of first in my life. And I want people to be able to see, you know what? There is peace. He has peace. Well, I say there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging, and is found in the shelter of his arms. I want to be able to have that peace. Yes. While on him my mind is stayed, I can never be afraid, for he keepeth me in perfect peace. May we stand and sing number 102.